Turning to the Gospel of Mark once again. I'm going to finish up chapter number 10 this morning, Mark chapter number 10. It is always good to remember how good God is. I tell you, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. I don't know if you, I know not everyone comes on Wednesday nights and some are working in the back, but we've been going through a series about thankfulness and Thanksgiving. And if you haven't had a chance, I encourage you to catch up on a couple of those messages, and even the encouragement of reminding ourselves and keeping a praise list, the value in that is just so key in remembering the Lord, remembering God. And so this morning, this is one of my favorite passages to preach. It's got a little bit of my testimony wrapped into it. I know that probably if you've been around the church in the last 20 years, you've heard me speak this probably at least three or four times over the last 20 years. But as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we come to this spot, and the Lord even showed me some new things. So I'll give you a little bit about my testimony and the importance of the truth. It would have been easy to skip over the passages of Scripture, but it just reminds us of a really, really powerful truth. And that powerful truth is we need God. We need God unlike anything else. We need God in every area of our life. And this man, who is a blind man, and blind Bartimaeus, in this story, he realizes that God's his only hope, and he begins to cry out to God. So my hope for you today is that God will work in your heart and life and remind you of this powerful truth. We need God in our lives. Sunday school, we talked about how many times people not misplace God, but they displace God. And the idea that when they try to build lives without God, they put God on Sunday, take him off the throne of their life, and just give him one little area of their life. They displace and they put him in the wrong spot. Bartimaeus understood the truth. If we would allow it to come in our hearts and lives, how much we need God, it could really change our lives. Many of you heard my testimony. I've been going to church 9 months before I was born. And I was in church, my entire life. There's probably a year or two of my life where I did not go to Sunday night church, but only twice a month. But besides that, four times, if not more, for the last 50 years of my life. And I'm thankful for that testimony. And at the age of probably about the age of 13 or 14 years old, the Lord worked in my heart while being at a junior camp and then the next year at a teen camp about his call to preach on my life. But you know, as a teenager, I wanted to live for myself. Probably about the age of 9 years old, the Lord revealed unto me my fact that I was a sinner. I needed a Savior. First time ever in my life, I remember being convicted of my sins and seeing myself. Once again, I'd been to church all my life. But at that night, the preacher preached. The Lord spoke to my heart. I knew I needed him. And I came forward. I believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, was sorrowful for my sins, and cried out to God, and he saved me. At, like I said, 13 or 14, the Lord called me to preach. Still going to church, taught junior church, or at least involved in teaching junior church from the age of 11 all the way up to 29. So I was there probably about the age of 14 or 15. I began being the actual teacher of junior church. So I was serving. I taught adult Sunday school classes. I taught other things. My whole life, I was been involved in church. About the age of 24, God really got a hold of my heart that I was living for me. I wasn't living for him. I had put God in that box. On Sunday, I wanted to serve. Sundays, I was super busy. God started working in my heart about that call to preach. And I went back to Bible college, really just seeking the Lord. It was a dark time in my life, but it was definitely a time in my life the Lord was doing some chastening. And he got my heart settled. Even during that time period, our pastor back home had done something he shouldn't have done. He'd been a pastor for a couple of years, and he had to leave the church in a shameful way, and the fact that he had to be asked to leave because of what he did. And on a Wednesday night, a preacher came to town. I could tell you the preacher's name, but I could not tell the preacher's outline. But God spoke to my heart in a powerful way. It was out of this passage about how much I needed God in my life. And once again, I had been to church. I had been to church the four times a week. I'd been doing it for 50 years. I went to a Christian school most of my life. I had been around church, around God so much, but there came a point in time in my life I began trying to believe that I could do certain things in my life without God. And I started believing that, hey, I can handle certain areas. But on that Wednesday night, during that time period when I had gone back to Bible college, about 25 or 26 years old, I was working full-time as a manager of a Rite Aid pharmacy. I worked from 9 at night to 9 in the morning, 4 days of the week, and then went to Bible college many of those years full-time, and also a couple of those years helped teach in the Christian school. So I had a pretty jam-packed schedule. Nonetheless, to say that I also was, during that time, had my first child, Brother Christian, and was married and all those other things. So I was living a very, very busy life, but there was something that was missing. And that night, the Lord spoke to my heart through this passage of Scripture about how much I just needed God in my life. It wasn't just having a relationship with Him, but letting Him rule and reign in my life, walking with the Lord, was experiencing God. And Bartimaeus taught me something that night, or at least through the preaching, it taught me we really, truly need God. But many of us miss Him for some reasons. So in this passage of Scripture, there's some different reasons why people miss God, or they displace God. They put Him in the wrong spot. It's because they forget how much they need the Lord. And I think people can come to church and they can live their lives and they can spend their whole entire life sitting there. And yes, even people that can be saved and feel like everything's okay, and they don't want to grow like God wants them to grow. They don't want to surrender like God wants them to surrender. So in this passage, I'm praying that God will work in your heart. So let's go ahead and read it. I'll probably just tell the story as it goes along as we read the passages of Scripture. And I pray this will be a help to you. And throughout the years, there have been a lot more things that God has taught me in this passage besides that one night. But like I said, I realized something. I had God in my life, but I didn't act like I needed Him. Look what it says in verse number 6, and they came to Jericho. Who are they referring to? We've been studying through Mark, so we know they're talking about Jesus, talking about His disciples. Actually, go up to verse number 45 for just a second. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." One of the things He taught me this week that I never saw before because I had not studied it in the context of the Scripture, that He's there and He's teaching them, hey, look, learn to serve. Look, you don't want to lord over us. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to be scourged. And all they're interested in, all the disciples are interested in, and they're worried about, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Even James and John had come up to Jesus and said, hey, I want you to do what I want you to do. Do whatever I ask you. They actually said that to Jesus. And we say, though, that sounds foolish, but isn't that many times how we live our lives? All that we look at God is, hey, God, I want you to give me this. And God, I want you to do what I want. Boy, that's a big miss of what God really is. He's God. Prayer is not getting our will done out up in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done in our lives. And here He teaches them that. He teaches them about that they're not ruling over like the Gentiles. And it says in verse 43, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." Talking about how we should minister to one another. And chief, so who are you ministering to today? Let's just ask that question, because I know that's who exactly is it that you're ministering to today? Well, I'm ministering to my family. Well, that's great. You're supposed to do that. But what type of active work do you have in reaching out to those that are without, or to those that are maybe more immature as a believer? What I mean, it's not about everything we take in and be ministered unto. Look what it says in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." And in this, He's saying, look, God, when Jesus came to this world, he could have been born in a palace, but He wanted to teach us. He gave His life as a ransom to pay our sin debt. And He's saying to the disciples, I want you to give your life as a ransom. And now, obviously, they're not going to save anyone, but I want you to live your life to help bring people to Christ. Who is it that you're ministering to today? Now, I'm not talking about as much physical things. And yes, sometimes through the physical, we can give spiritual. And I understand sometimes people say, well, they got to know that we love them first before we can give them the gospel. Well, one of the ways you show you love somebody is by giving them the gospel, but you don't ignore their other needs. And you're going to see in the story, there's a group of people who maybe was not the disciples and probably was not the disciples, but you can actually make application. They told this blind man that you just need to be quiet, that Jesus doesn't care about you, that Jesus doesn't have time for you. But He's sitting there saying, that's the people we should minister unto. Those that have needs, we should be ministering unto them. So in this story, let's go ahead and pick up in verse 46. And they came to Jericho. Jesus and the disciples were there. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Now, this is found in a couple other passages of the scriptures. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus was coming. So Bartimaeus asked even the question. He hears all the noise. He hears that there's a large crowd that's coming. And he asks, so picture with me, if you will, in your mind. Jesus is there and Jesus is surrounded by his disciples. More than likely, they were the circle that was there. And then down this road, and once again, there's not probably large roads that are there, but you have a great multitude of people. A great number of people are there. And when you look at it, when it says the idea of great number of people, sometimes churches will care all about numbers and say, well, we got a huge crowd here. The Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it says is true. When they're saying it's a great number, it's a great number. In other passages, it talks about the multitude, that Jesus is there and he's walking and the disciples are around him and there is a great number, a multitude of people around him. And you can imagine there's probably hundreds of people in front of him and probably hundreds of people on the sides of him and hundreds of people behind him. And they're all there talking. They're all enamored with Jesus and they're all there and Jesus is right in the middle. And up the road, there's this poor old blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. And it says here, it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, I want you to picture for a second the need of Bartimaeus. You can describe what he's going through. Bartimaeus is here, and we think about blindness and how it limits people. And we understand that in the day and the time that we live in, many blind people are able to do amazing and wonderful things because of the different programs that they have and the different inventions they've made. But back in Bible times, he was in a very bad spot. He was depending upon other people's generosity in order to live. He could not work. And not only could he not work, there was no jobs per se for him, but he also would have been somebody that many times was looked down upon. Remember in John chapter 9, it talks about how the disciples asked about the blind men they saw. Hey, Jesus, was this because of some sin he did or some sin his parents did? And Jesus told them that's foolishness. But many times when they saw a blind person, they would not have been allowed into the temple and they would have been looked down upon because they believed their blindness was because of some of their sin. So he is living a very difficult life. Each and every day, he would go to the spot. Maybe he would be led. Maybe he would just kind of walk. Maybe he'd have a stick and he would come to the spot each and every day. And he would get on his knees and he would cry out, alms for the poor, while holding out something. I'm not a big fan of asking people for things. I know sometimes as a pastor, you know, we talk about things. You might say, Pastor, you ask all the time. You tell us we're supposed to do this, supposed to do that. I'm talking about for me personally, it's tough for me to ask for things. But could you put yourself in Bartimaeus' shoes? There, blind, sitting on the side of the road, having to ask. And what you eat that night is going to be dependent on what type of money was given to you. I mean, that's a rough spot to be in. I know I wouldn't want to be that, but he's there and he's crying out, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And then as he's sitting there, he hears the commotion that's coming and he can hear the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are walking down the road and they come and he says to somebody, hey, what is that? What's going on? What's the noise? What's happening? And someone says that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. Now, to some people, that would have been exciting if it was a celebrity, that they might just catch a glimpse of him. Well, Jesus maybe was probably the most popular person alive at that moment in time, at least in some circles, but he's not going to catch a glimpse of him because he can't see. So he's there and he's crying out alms for the poor. He hears Jesus come and there's a connection there. He knows something. He knows that Jesus helps heal people. And when he hears that Jesus was coming, he realized something that is the key that unlocked my heart that night is I need to get to Jesus. I need to get to God. I mean, I tell you, if you would wake up each day saying, I need the Lord today. I need the Lord just as much as blind Bartimaeus did. I need the Lord in every area of my life, every part of my life. I cannot live this Christian life without God. And we would cry out to him on a regular basis, on a daily basis throughout the week. If we would learn, like I said, I've been in church all my life. I have been teaching and I've been serving, but there was something that was missing. And that missing was the fact that I wasn't surrendered to him because I thought there was parts of my life that I could do on my own. And that's just not true. The Bible says, for without me, you can do nothing, when it's talking about spiritual things. I needed God. I needed God in every area of my life. And Bartimaeus is there and he's crying out. And you see what he says. He says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's saying, thou son of David, he's realizing he's saying that he's the Messiah, and he's crying out for mercy. He's saying, God, I know I don't deserve it. I know you're the chosen one. You're the Messiah, but I need your help. Will you please show me mercy? He's not saying, well, look how bad my life is. Look how tough these things are. No, he's just saying, Lord, will you please demonstrate mercy in my life? And the key was, he was there and he was crying out. And the reason why he cried out was because he understood, I need him. He has something that no one else can help me. He has something that no one else can give me. He has something that can do that nobody else can do for me. And he begins to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If we would learn that, if we would grab a hold of that and say, God can only do certain things for me. And there are certain things I'm missing without him. There are certain things that I cannot do without him. There are certain things I'm not going to be able to accomplish without him. We would be like Bartimaeus and we would cry out, God, have mercy on me. God, would you please help me? God, would you please give me those things I need? Verse 48, we see many charged him that he should hold his peace. First thing I want you to see here, and there's probably three or four things that you can write down if you want to, the reasons why we don't get to God, or the reasons why we don't get to Jesus like we need to, is number one, we don't understand how great the need is. Second reason is because sometimes we let people stop us. Sometimes we let people stop us. Now, look what it says. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. This is a spot that that the Lord has spoken to my heart in such an amazing way, is the fact that how could somebody look at this blind man and tell him, well, just be quiet. God doesn't care about you. He's too busy. He's got all these hundreds or thousands of people that are here. Why in the world would he care about one blind beggar? Just be quiet. And then many charged him. And that word charge talks about they were doing it with authority. They were telling him to shut up. They were telling him no. And pretty much what they were saying is God doesn't care about you. But just verses earlier, what was he telling his disciples? That he had given his life a ransom for many. He had given his life to minister to others. And he was telling them, look, I want you, if you want to be the chief, then learn how to be the servant. If you want to learn how to be the leader, learn how to minister, learn how to serve. But this group, whoever these people was, and it seems like there was a group of people to say, oh, be quiet. They didn't get that lesson. And oftentimes what we do is we don't see, because we don't understand our great need. We don't understand the need of others. And we don't go out and tell others. And instead, we act like we tell a group of people, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't have time for you. That's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of the gospel. But when we remain silent to certain people or to certain people groups because we feel uncomfortable, whether it may be children, maybe it's some that ride on a van route, or maybe some people with a different color, or some people from a false religion, or some people who might look different, we're looking at them with our silence and saying, God doesn't care about you. No, but God says to preach and teach the gospel to every creature. But could you imagine somebody looking at Bartimaeus and telling him, hold your peace? Now, this multitude of people were there. Why were they there? They were there for Jesus, but why were they there for Jesus? Some were there for the teaching, but the majority of them were there because of the miracles. And you would think that the blind person was there, they would pick up and they say, hey, let me get you to Jesus because he can help you. I can't help you, but I can help get you to Jesus. And he's there and he's crying out. And some people had the nerve to say, just be quiet. God doesn't care. One another reason why we don't get to the Lord like we should is because we don't think God cares like we think he should. You don't find that in his word. If anything, he tells you to cast their cares upon him because he cares for us. If anything, he tells us that those that are heavy laden, that he will give you rest. If anything, he demonstrates his love and he shows us his love. He cares about you. He cares about every area of your life, every part of your life. If you can't, you need to get to him. Don't let people tell you that God doesn't care. And there are people in your life that will try to distract you. There are people on purpose that will do things in your life that will cause you to try to hinder you from your work of the Lord. Some will be used of the devil to sit there and just do whatever they can to stop you from being able to just seek after him. I haven't had the opportunity many times because of COVID here recently. They changed the rules, but we would go into the prisons of the Rock Ages Prison Ministry, and they gave the opportunity to go from cell to cell, actually go inside the areas and out on the field or whatever, the outside part in the area where they are. I forget what they're called that, but you could go and talk to the prisoners one-on-one. And the guys that were there says, be weary of something. I said, be weary of what? He says, be careful when people are asking you weird Bible questions. I says, well, I don't mind answering questions. He says, well, lots of times people that are Muslims or people that were from false religions, they don't want you to speak the gospel to anybody. So they'll come up and they'll begin to ask you questions about, hey, so what about the book of Barnabas? Or what about, and asking very technical Bible questions because they want to take and monopolize your time so you can't get the gospel out to somebody else. And there will be people in your world that do not understand how much they need God and how much you need God. And they will not encourage you to seek after him. They will not encourage you to live for him. Instead, they will try to distract you and try, oh, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to read your Bible too much. You don't need to pray. That's just what that preacher says. That's old time religion. I'm thankful for old time religion because it's what the Bible says. And yes, we need to know what the Bible says and why the Bible says it, but we need to get to God. And one of the reasons why we do not get to God is because sometimes we listen to others and other times we just don't feel like God cares. There's never been a moment that God has loved you any less or loved you any more. He's loved you with that perfect love forever. And he cares for you. He loves you. Don't let the devil come to you and say, oh, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He wouldn't let this happen or that happen or these circumstances. And that's what the devil does. He comes and he says, oh, the Lord doesn't have time for you. God doesn't have time for you. And he does. Don't let somebody stop you from getting to God. Don't let somebody stop you from getting to the Lord. You keep on going. It says, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that's what the cry is. He's crying out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't listen to him. And because he didn't listen to him, you know what happens? He gets to the Lord. But if we begin to listen to the devil when he says God doesn't care about you, God doesn't understand, God understands you better than you understand yourself. God knows your end, the beginning from the end. God knows everything that's going on in your life, and he loves you, and he understands. He was like that. He was as a high priest that was tempted in all points. Let's keep on going. It says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And this next phrase, and Jesus stood still. I love that. Now picture this. Once again, in your mind, if you have the hundreds or thousands of people that are around Jesus and they're all talking, they're all listening, they're all excited and they're animated and those things. One little blind man up here, even if he's yelling at the top of his voice, Jesus isn't going to be able to hear him. He's not going to be able to hear him. But it says that when he is crying out by faith, it says that Jesus stops and he stands still. I'm here to tell you today, I truly believe that if you cry out to the Lord today, he will stand still and listen to you. So how in the world can he stop? I mean, he controls the world in his hand and he does all these things. How in the world can he stop and listen to just me? He's God. And each of us, if we would stop and we would all pray right now, we could all pray different things about different topics and different voices and different levels, and God would hear and understand them all. And I'm here, even though he is running the world and even he is sitting on the throne, whatever it is that you cry out to him in faith with a clean heart, you know what he's going to do? He's going to stop and he's going to stand still and he's going to listen to you. Even though he's in charge of all things and control of all things, he will stand still and he will listen. He says, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth me. Verse number 50, and he casting away his garment and came to Jesus. That used to not mean very much to me, but I began thinking about a blind man. The garment he had would have been something that was precious to him. It would have been his pillow at night, something, the only thing he had kept that was warm. If he's sitting on the side of the street asking for things, he's not going to have a lot of things. He would have maybe at times past had to sell something. We don't know exactly, so I don't want to speculate, but this would have been precious to him. And it says that he cast his garment aside to get to Jesus. And one of the reasons why we do not get to God like we need to is because there's things we need to cast away. He didn't want anything. He did not want anything slowing him down. He wanted to get to the Lord. He did not want this garment slowing him down. As doing some studying, one of the things, sometimes even back then in Bible times, the blind beggars would wear a garment that showed that they were blind. And he was casting it away. He knew that Jesus was going to help him. And as he's getting there, is there something in your life that's stopping you from getting to Jesus? I tell you that, I tell you my own personal testimony. There was things in my life that I displaced God and took him off the throne and put things such as sports and put things such as relationships and put things as my own interests. Not that people would look at any of those things and say that they're wicked or they're horrible or sinful, but they became things that became more important to me than God. And there are certain things that God says, look, you need to cast this away if you really truly want to get to me. And the reason why many of us don't get to God is because we don't see the need and the importance like Bartimaeus did. And we let others stop us, or we let the devil convince us that God doesn't care. But one of the things that really holds us back from getting into his presence and spending time and quality time with him is because there's certain things we need to cast aside and say, I don't need this anymore. I don't want this anymore. I need to get to God. That getting to God is more important than this sin, whatever it is, that thing that so easily beset us. That it's that addiction that I have, or whatever it is, there are certain things we need to cast, that unforgiveness, that attitude, that whatever it is, I need to get to God. And this is hindering my relationship with God, because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear us. They're not going to hear me. So I need to cast these things away and make sure I have a clear path to get to God. So one of the reasons why we don't get to God like we should is because we got things that are slowing us down. Keep on going. It says, and he said, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And it's an interesting story, because Jesus answered and said unto him, what will that I should do unto thee? I like this part too. He turns around. He asks the blind guy who's crying out for mercy, what is it that you want me to do? I mean, once again, there's hundreds of people there, probably thousands, and they had to lead this man. You could tell because of the way he was walking, and as he was trying to feel that he was blind, everybody in the whole audience knew that he wanted to receive his sight. Everybody knew that. Why would Jesus ask him that? It's because Jesus wanted to hear him say, I want you to do the supernatural. God wants to hear our prayers. Some of the reasons why we don't get to God enough is because we don't pray enough. And because we don't pray is because we don't see the need. And sometimes we let people, or we let the devil convince us that God doesn't care about us, or we let things stop us from getting to him. But he desires to hear our prayers. He tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to pray. He tells us to continue on praying. And he tells us not to faint in our prayers and do it over and over. So he looks at him and he says, Bartimaeus, what will thou have me to do for thee? He's saying, I want to hear you tell me that you cannot do this and you need my help. That's exactly what prayer is when we get on our face and say, God, I know I need you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really need him all the time. So that's why I only pray some of the times. You missed the whole point. That's why you're not getting to God, because we need him for every area of our life. And that model of prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Most of us have plenty of bread. Most of us eat too much bread. But he's saying every part of our life, we need God involved. We need his leadership. We need his guidance. We need his provision. We need him. And that's when we need to learn to cry out to him and say, God, I have to get to you. I cannot let people stop me from getting to you. I cannot let objects stop me from getting to you. I need you. And that's when he says, we must learn to pray. That's the reason why many of us don't get to him, because we don't take time to pray. And then look at his response here. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He asked for the supernatural. The reason why we don't get to him is because we don't expect God to do great things sometimes. If we were there and Jesus looked at us and said, hey, what do you want me to do? Many of us, if you looked at our prayer lives, would be like, hey, can you give me a seeing eye dog? Could you give me a new coat? Could you give me a new walking stick? We go to God unless acting like, God, I know that you can do all things, but for me, all you're willing to do is just this one, just do something that anybody else can do. Just use somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with the smaller things. But when we pray, we don't get to God because we don't see him as a God that can do all things. We don't ask for the supernatural. We don't say, God, I want you to do only what you can do. I don't want you to do what somebody else can do. I want you to do those things that only God can do. And that way I'll give you praise and glory. When we don't get to him is because of the fact that we're not praying. And when we pray, we're looking for relief instead of revival. We're looking for God to get our will done. And we have no clue what this world needs. We know what we think this world needs, but we don't understand what God understands. And that's why we need to get to him. And we need to say, God, I want you to work your will out. God, I want you to do something that more than what I could do, or more than what a person can do. God, I want you to do the supernatural. God, I want to receive my sight. I want you to do that only thing that you could do and nobody else could do. So you will see glory and honor. And we continue on and you see, he says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now Jesus is interesting. Jesus heals him. He says it's because of his faith. And, you know, he had to have faith to know that he needed God. He had to have faith not to listen to the naysayers, the devil saying he doesn't care about him. He had to have faith that Jesus was going to stand still. He had to have faith to get rid of everything. He had faith to ask for the supernatural. But Jesus says, go thy way. And then look what it says. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. His way was Jesus's way. Many times we don't get to him like we should. It's because we want to go our own way. We don't want to follow him. But one of the ways that we get to him is by following after him. We walk with him. He's not going to walk with us in the idea that he's going to follow us. We need to follow after him. This morning, just a couple thoughts that go along with this. When's the last time you really got to God? I mean, when's the last time you saw the need? There was nothing else. You had no one else. You knew it had to be God or nothing. That's the way every day should be. I got to meet with him. I got to spend time with him. I got to pray with him. Me and Mr. Barry went to a preacher's fellowship this past Friday, and one of the preachers told a story about they were having a prayer meeting, and how there was a guy, and I think I've heard the story before. The guy was there. It was an old preacher was there. He was on his knees, and he was praying, Lord, I'm wicked, I'm undeserving, I'm wretched, God, I need your help. And there was another guy that was sitting there next to him or kneeling there next to him, listening, and the guy thinks in his mind, hey, God, I'm not like this guy. God, I don't need all that stuff. And the idea was the old preacher had the understanding that I'm a sinner, I'm wicked, I need God. I need his help. I'm not going to be able to live this Christian life without him. The other guy in his pride thinking, hey, I'm not that bad. I don't need all the help. That guy over here doesn't get to God because he never realizes how bad he needs him. This one here that's probably even more righteous and more holy in his living understands that without God, we're going to fail. Without God, we're going to act fleshly. Without God, we're going to miss what God wants for us. And we must learn to get to him and just say, God, I need you in every area of my life. And with this thought, and we're crying out to him, when it comes time, am I going to read my Bible or not in the morning? It's like, of course I'm going to read it. I need to get to God. Am I going to pray today and spend time? Of course I have to, because I need God. We have come a people that feel like we don't need the Lord in every area. We have displaced him. We have put him over there. And we said, I'll come to you on Sunday. I'll come to you when I need you. But when I don't need you, I'm not going to spend time with you. And we've missed it. And Bible Aramaeus taught me an example that night, and I pray it teaches you example. And the example is that I need to get to the Lord. I need to cry out to him. There's things that only God can do for me, and no one else can, and I need to get to him. I'm not going to let what other people say stop me. I'm not going to let the devil convince me that he doesn't care about me. I'm not going to think that he's too busy. I'm going to cast away that whatever that is, whether it's for him, it was a garment. I'm going to cast away that sin. I'm going to cast away that hobby. If it's slowing me down, what's more important, that hobby or God? It's God. If that's slowing me down, I might need to say goodbye to it for a while. There are certain things in my life I had to say, hey, I can't do that for a while. I had to get out of that because my focus isn't right. And I need to cast this away I need to get to the Lord. If there's something slowing me down, I need to stop it. And then I need to learn how to pray. But not only do I need to learn how to pray, I need to pray with faith that God's going to answer my prayers. Closing thought here. This morning, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you cannot get saved any other way but through Jesus Christ. Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's saying there, you have a need for God for salvation. And those that are believers in the room, they came to understanding, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not going to get to the heaven on my own. I must put my faith and trust. I must see myself as a sinner. I must turn to God and put my faith and trust. I can't trust in myself. I can't trust in other people. I can't trust. I must. And the only way to get to him for salvation is by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no way other to get to heaven but through him. I think many people, if not all of us, would agree with that and say, amen, that's right, that's what we should need to do. And that's, if you're here today and you're unsaved, there's no other way. I encourage you to come forward, get to him. Let us take somebody, show you from the Bible how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. But it's not just salvation, it's how to live this spiritual life. We are dependent upon him. We must get to him day by day. We must commune with him day by day, moment by moment. We must understand, I need God in my life. I can't keep on pushing him out. I can't keep on pushing him away. I can't do this anymore. I need the Lord. So God, when's the last time you got to him? When's the last time you say, there's a great need, I don't care what other people say, I'm not going to let things stop me, I'm going to spend quality time in praying my faith? As a 25, 26-year-old young man managing, I had managed things since I was 17. I had plenty of positions, I had plenty of titles, I'd been to church all my life, had won all the ribbons, all the rewards. But he reminded me of something. I needed God in my life. I couldn't push him out. I couldn't just have him in a certain box. I need to surrender it. I need to spend time with him every day. Just playing the role of a Christian doesn't get it done. I need to spend time with him day by day, moment by moment. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter everybody else says, hey, that's a good guy. Hey, that's a guy that should be one of our deacons, or that's the guy this or that. Doesn't matter what the world says. It matters what God says. And he taught me that night, the Lord did, through the message. Once again, I couldn't tell you what the outline was. I couldn't tell you if he preached the same sermon, anything like that. But it told me a powerful truth. I need to get to the Lord. When's the last time you spent quality time alone with the Lord to build your relationship? That is one thing the devil tries to hinder, if not anything else. If he can get you not walking with him, you're not going to be a witness. If he can get you not walking with him, you're not going to forgive. If he can get you not walking with him, he's going to render you useless. That's why Moses, we talked about this morning in Sunday school class, says, take heed unto thyself. Talked about taking thy soul diligently, looking after your soul diligently. I know that's not an exact quote, but it's the idea. Make sure you're taking care of yourself spiritually, because you will not accomplish God's will without him. And the only way you can know him is by surrendering to him and spending time with him in prayer and Bible reading. Don't care what the world says. Oh, that's a good guy. That's a guy who's got respect. That's a guy that, or that's a lady. That's a God-fearing. If you're not getting to the Lord, they used to say a lot of those things about me, but I wasn't getting to God on a regular basis like I should. And our pastor had done things that were wrong and bad. He had to leave town under ashamed, and all these other things. It seemed like my world was crashing around, and all the things I used to depend on and trust in just didn't seem like it was working. I was confused. The Lord was trying to work in my heart. But the overwhelming message was, I need to get to God. If I spend time with him daily and I put him first and make him a priority, it helps me. It will strengthen me. It will give me day by day guidance. Get to the Lord. Don't let people stop you. Don't let things stop you. Don't let a lack of your prayer life stop you. We need God in our lives. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story. I know it changed a part of my life when it was an important time in my life. Thank you for not giving up on me. Lord, help us to desire to want to get to you. It's amazing how we let little things stop us from remembering the goodness of the Lord. We let people stop us. God, we need you. God, I need you. Well, I pray that you would give a burden on the hearts of the people here that we need to get to you. Thank you for this example of Bartimaeus. He understood his need. He cried out. And I know that blindness is something that we would say, well, he's blind. Of course he needs God. We need you just as much today. To live this spiritual life, to make a difference in this world, we need you. And Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts of our if we're lazy when it comes to our personal time with you, if we become nonchalant about our walk with you, if we become passive about seeking after you, that you would burden our hearts, God. You would burden our hearts to realize we need to get to you. Let's not worry about what others think. Let's not let the things of this world stop us. Let us instead pray for those things that only you can do in our lives. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, help them to see their need. Help them to cry out to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.